One day, after about a week in school, Bernice Hughes, whose father, Dr. W.A.C. Hughes, was somebody important in the Methodist Episcopal Church and a trustee of the college, sat watching me. Her gray eyes were fixed on me, and her red lips were puckered in a frown. I didn't know what to think. But it was in English history, which I liked very much, and I wasn't doing badly in recitation. When the period was over and the class passed on to the next room, she fell in beside me and said, "If you ain't one knowing fool, I'm naming you old knowledge bug." Then she laughed that kind of laugh she has to cover up her feelings, and I laughed too. Bernice can register something that makes you look at her and like her no matter what she does. "I'm sitting by you tomorrow, fool. And from now on, you hear me?" she went on with her catching laugh. "No use in both of us studying like a fool. You can just study for both of us." So from then on, I was knee-deep in the Hughes family. My 2 years at Morgan went off very happily indeed. The atmosphere made me feel right. I was at last doing the things I wanted to do. Every new thing I learned in school made me happy. See, our body is our guide. And they didn't mean for our pursuit of happiness to mean that we follow our bodies. But it's the truth. You can't pursue happiness if you don't listen to your body. So whatever they meant, hey, we have to push this little opening wide and say, we're ready. We're ready, ancestors, to realize your hopes and dreams for us. We're ready to realize that we got to represent for not just one tiny bit, speck of the species, but all of us, all humanity. When it came time to consider college, I planned to stay on at Morgan, but that was changed by chance. I shall never forget my first college assembly, sitting there in the chapel of that great university. I was so exalted that I said to the spirit of Howard, "You have taken me in," and that's, she's talking about Howard University in D.C., "you have taken me in. I am a tiny bit of your greatness. I swear to you that I shall never make you ashamed of me." It didn't wear off. My joining the Stylus, which was the small literary society on the hill, influenced my later moves. On account of a short story which I wrote for the Stylus, Charles S. Johnson, who was just then founding Opportunity Magazine, wrote to me for material. He explained that he was writing to all of the Negro colleges with the idea of introducing new writers and new material to the public. This move on the part of Dr. Johnson was the root of the so-called Negro Renaissance. It was his work, and only his hush-mouth nature has caused it to be attributed to many others. So I came to New York through opportunity and through opportunity to Barnard. I have no lurid tales to tell of race discrimination at Barnard. I made a few friends in the first few days. They were well-traveled and cosmopolitan. I found out about Forks, who entered a room first, sat down first, who offered to shake hands, and a great deal more of material like that. These people are still lying very close to my heart. Because my work was top-heavy with English, political science, history, and geology, my advisor at Barnard recommended fine arts, economics, and anthropology for cultural reasons. I started in under Dr. Gladys Reichert, had a term paper called to the attention of Dr. Franz Boas, and thereby gave up my dream of leaning over a desk and explaining Addison and Steele to the sprouting generation. I had the same feeling at Barnard that I did at Howard, only more so. I felt that I was highly privileged and determined to make the most of it. I didn't resolve to be a grind, however, to show the white folks that I had brains. I took it for granted that they knew that, else why was I at Barnard? Not everyone who cried, "Lord, Lord," can enter those sacred iron gates. 2 weeks before I graduated from Barnard, Dr. Boas sent for me and told me that he'd arranged a fellowship for me. I was to go south and collect Negro folklore. Shortly before that, I had been admitted to the American Folklore Society. Later, while I was in the field, I was invited to become a member of the American Ethnological Society, and shortly after, the American Anthropological Society. My search for knowledge of things took me into many strange places and adventures. And that's Zora Neale Hurston from Dust Tracks on a Road.